Let us pray. Each and every day. Let us pray as a way to say that we don't believe that life is somehow meaningless, feelingless, healingless. And you're welcome, whatever you're dealing with. But what if there is a great big unless? Just waiting for a fearless few to leave behind the pew, talk to the folks in the checkout queue. Who knew? They are ready to listen anew, to hope along with you. So open up and listen out. It's time to get out and about. God's calling you out and about. God's already out and about. This is not about standing on the corner to shout, or sandwich boards, or hordes of people flooding in on Sunday. It's about having a fun day. Celebrate together, whatever the weather. Welcome the stranger, not because you wish to change her, but simply discover she's an angel. So, open the doors, because it's been too long since you opened the doors. The hinges are rusty, but the people are thirsty, also thirsty, for the Spirit of God. It's not so big or so scary. We can all pray, we can all say hi to the guy next door, because it's where the storm starts. So open your hearts and take the good news out and about.
Well, good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me okay? If you can't hear me at any point, give me a wave. I don't know what I'll do, but I'll try something different. But it's good to see you. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. And it's great to see you all here today. As that video began and started, it's time for us as we gather this morning to open our hearts for worship. So with that in mind, let us sing our first hymn this morning. Here I am to worship. It's in our hymn books, 175, if you want to follow along, or the words will be on the screen. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
So as we gather this morning, Lord, we come to you in prayer. In our reading, we reflect on you on the mount with your friends. And so, Lord, as we gather around the mount this morning, to catch just a few words of your splendor, of your wisdom, of your challenge, Lord God, speak to us today, O Lord. Show us how we are to help, how we are to serve, how we are to go out and about. By your Spirit we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to be back here leading worship here in Whittlesea. I think the last time, I want to say, it was sort of 2019, I think, at Christmas time. It could have been. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. But something around that time. And hopefully those of you that were part of that service might remember. But I firmly think we should enjoy church, not endure it. Okay, so for the next hour or so, hopefully you're going to enjoy church. If you don't enjoy it today, come back next week because I won't be here leading it, okay? So try it again next week because Lang will be back, okay? So if you don't enjoy it, don't worry, come back next week. So with that in mind about enjoying it, there's so much for us as we reflect on our scripture passages, both here and the kids go into their rooms later on to reflect on, is actually this idea of being thankful. This idea of being grateful for what we have. And so I need your help for us to kind of do that in a prayer of thanksgiving this morning. So what I'm going to do in a moment, I'm going to walk to the back of the room. Don't worry, I'm not walking out, okay? And as I walk to the back of the room, I'm going to slowly start walking to the front. And I'm going to look to my left and I'm going to look to my right. And what I want you to do just in a moment now is to think about something you are thankful for. Something you're grateful for. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a moment you've had this week, maybe it's something that you're looking forward to in the coming week. It could be something big, something small that's happened in your life, but something that you're really thankful for today. So, I'm going to walk to the back of the room. Okay, I'm going to start looking to my left and to my right. And what I want you to do, if you feel comfortable, just shout it out at me, okay? All right? You've got permission to shout at me.
I'm saying that to my wife as well. But let's go to the back. Hopefully you can still hear me. So, as I say, I'm going to walk to the front. And if there's something that you're thankful for, if I catch your eyes, if you want to just shout it at me, that would be brilliant.
Friendship.
Friendship. Brilliant stuff. Family.
My lifts.
Your lifts. Yes. Your granddaughter, little granddaughter. Cleft palate, is it? She's come through the operation. Brilliant stuff. Yes.
FaceTime.
Yes. Definitely. Anyone over here? Yes. Pardon, sorry? Life itself. Brilliant. Amen. Yes. Yes. Your grandson, you're seeing him next week. Brilliant stuff. Your future. Brilliant stuff. Your work. Fantastic. Fantastic. This church. So, hey, amen. Skill of cancer doctors, yes, indeed.
Music.
Brilliant.
And I'm
what
Tony's just
there
for the NHS.
For the NHS. NHS expertise. Children's happiness. Stibbit, you got a school trip this week? Yes. All the children here this morning.
Thankful for Benjamin.
Thankful for Benjamin. Oh, that's brilliant. Brilliant stuff. What are you thankful for, Penny? Sleep. Yay. Brilliant. Well, let's hold all those things that we're thankful for this morning in prayer, saying thank you to God for, and let's do that now as we gather this morning. So, Lord, as we gather this morning in worship, we do just say thank you for all the gifts that you've given to us of family, of friends, of FaceTime, of the NHS, for successful operations and for the skills that we are blessed with. Thank you for siblings. Thank you for school trips. Thank you for all those things that we have to look forward to as well. So Lord, as we leave this place later, may we leave here with a heart of gratitude for what you've given to us today. In your name. Amen. Amen. We're now going to take up our offering. This is something for those that call this church home. So if you're a new person here, you just come for the first time, or don't call this church your home, don't feel obligated to give or anything. We're just so glad that you're here, ultimately. And so we're going to have the offering. The kids, I think, are going to do it for us today, which is brilliant, so thank you very much. We're going to take up the offering now, and we're going to pray for that before they go to their groups. So thank you. So Lord, thank you so much for these gifts that you've given to us. Thank you for the way in which they'll bless the work of your church here, but also those in this community and further afield. So Lord, would you use this and those given through the bank to bless the work of your church in your name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to have our next hymn, but during that hymn, I believe the children are going to go to their group. So you're going to go out to the back, which is brilliant. So do go and enjoy this morning as we sing together Beauty for Brokenness. We're going to need a couple of helpers, please, just to come and give some paper out, if that's okay. So if anyone would like to come to the front quickly for me and just help me. Thank you, Amy. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Yeah. So everyone needs one piece of paper each to be involved this morning. Okay? So hopefully you might have already picked up on some of the theme for this morning. Because in a moment we're going to have our scripture readings a little bit later on, which speaks of God's love for the poor. God's love for those who are marginalised. God's love for those in our society that can often be overlooked and can often be forgotten about as well. So this morning I thought, as the kids are going out, actually, why should they have all the fun out there in their group with all the craft activities they're doing? Why can't we have some fun in this room and show them what we've done? How about that? So this morning, we're going to do that. Okay, so later on, they're going to show us what they've made and what they've done. And I want us all to surprise them, okay? Okay, which is when they come back in later, I'm going to ask you, what have you done today? And then all of you are going to go, we're going to show off what we've done, okay? So, here's where you kind of see where I wanted to go in my career, which has been a Blue Peter presenter, by trying to do some craft with all of you. So, we're going to do this together. No one's going to be left behind. Help out a brother or sister behind you or beside you if they're struggling. Okay, but we're going to start making something. And I want you to shout out. When you think you know what we're making, shout out and tell me. Okay, so the first thing we do is get our paper like so. I even got you proper origami paper. Hope you appreciate that this morning. Right, so we're going to take your paper and do your first fold like so. I'm going to come down and show you each step where I can. Okay? Hopefully that one's fairly self-explanatory. So I'm going to move us on. One of the easiest things to do is, once you've done each step, give it a little wave in front of me, then I can kind of gauge how we're doing. Brilliant! Lovely! Oh, look at this. So, we're going to unfold it like so. So it should look like that in front of you. Then you just take the other corner like so and make another fold. So it makes it kind of a kite shape. So you have your paper, it's got two folds like so. Like I said, if you see someone beside you struggling with the folding at all, help them out and assist them. It's not a star, no. Not finished just yet. Wishful thinking, that is. Right. This is where it gets a little bit more complicated, okay? But we'll be absolutely fine, okay? This is where I have to try and remember what you have to do. Yeah, thank you, Amy. Okay, so, have it like so in front of you. And you take the bottom corner, top corner. I did know how to do it before. Top corner, and you fold the top corner into, so the top corner's touching the middle. Fortune telephone. So, like so. Yeah. Give it a wave if you've done that step. Lovely. Oh, look at you. Right, so, we're going to speed it up now. So, take the bottom corner now. I've got the right step now, haven't I? Right, and we fold it to the top like so. So, take the bottom and fold it up to the top. Okay. Lovely. Well done. Okay. As I say, make sure no one's left behind. Everyone's got that step. Lovely. Well done. Okay. If you can do the next bit, you can do it all, okay? Because this bit's a slightly tricky bit for me to explain, but it will make sense. So, in my not-so-good English here, I'm going to try and describe it. So, take one of the corners, doesn't matter which one, any one, and you're going to bring it up to the middle like so. You're going to fold it up. Do you see that? So you take one corner, and you're going to fold it up. Bring it up to the middle. Doesn't matter which corner you start with, because you're going to do the same on the other side as well. No, you're fine. And then... okay. Oh, sorry. for you. So you've done the two steps. So, I like so. No, we changed it on you. There we go. So, hopefully you've done that first fold. And literally what you do, Ben, is on the opposite side, do exactly the same. So the two should meet in the middle, like so. So two folds. You doing okay? It's pretty well done. Help each other out. If someone's struggling beside you, help them out. Do exactly the same on the other side. Stealth bomb. The imagination's going wild now. It's good. Looking lovely. Well done, everyone. Oh, I heard someone over here say something that sounds about right to me. Okay, are we all okay? So it should look a little bit like so. Yeah? So I always get it. You do. Is it fold this side? Yeah. So you turn it round. So you got the back of it. And you fold the corners round. No? Wrong side. Like so.
And then you fold it back.
And you fold it. So it should be like. So where it's completely smooth. And you fold each corner around the sides. Like so. Just a little bit. Each corner. So. Each corner. That's it. Lovely. Well done. Brilliant. Just the corners. And then to finish up. What you do, if you've done them already, you just fold down the tops a little bit, like you did on the sides, fold down ever so slightly, and hopefully, once you've done that, you'll begin to see you've got a lovely heart. Ah. So just fold the top two corners down a little bit. Brilliant. Brilliant. If you need help still, put it in the air. Someone will come to you. We'll come to you and help you. But it looks like all of you are doing brilliant. Well done. Well done. Well done. So when you finish, do you want to just hold it up so I can see it? Look at this. Wow. Brilliant stuff. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Fantastic. You can see all the lovely hearts that we have out here. Well done, well done. And if you want to make another one later on, you can. I've got plenty of paper. I might even try and remember how to do it. Fantastic. So what I want you to do is keep hold of them, because you're going to need them a bit later on when I ask you, what have you been doing today, church? And I want you to then show all the children what you've been up to this morning, okay? I wonder what they might say to our wonderful creations. We're going to need these hearts a little bit later on, because I'm going to refer to them as we have our scripture readings later. So we're going to sing our next hymn whilst you're just finishing off your hearts, which is going to be Tell Out My Soul, number 186. And then if I can invite those doing our Bible readings, both the Micah and the Matthew passage, to the front to give us our readings together.
Oh.
Chapter 6. Verses 1 to 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Amen.
I'll be back.
And our second reading is from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, well-known phrase, the Beatitudes. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up onto a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the Beatitudes. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Amen.
Let's just pray before we just reflect a few moments on God's words this morning. So Lord, as we are moved to be challenged by your word this morning, would you use my lips and what I have to say, not as man, but to bless and to encourage us. You speak, Lord, in these moments, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hopefully, as a church, or if you've not heard about it already, you'll hear about it in these next few moments. But the church, as the Methodist church, has been going through what we call the Walking with Micah project. It's a project which has called to challenge the church and reflect back to the church kind of what the church is to do when it sees injustice. And what's the church's response to the poor? And because at the heart of Methodism has always been this call to action, the same with United Reformed Church. Wesley's famous comment once was this: one great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they seldom visit them. One great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they seldom visit them. There's a challenge, eh? See, if we are just to look back just for a few moments and to actually think about what's just happened in the last 10 years, let me just take you for a whistle-stop tour of how we got to where we are in our world, just for a few moments if I can. We've had two key political referendums held in the UK, Scottish independence in 2014, and of course the Brexit referendum in 2016. Not only that, but we've seen other relationships as well begin to be formed and also dissolved as well. We've seen more unrest in Ireland, we've seen EU relations being tested, and of course we had the COVID-19 pandemic, which, as we all know, how it impacted our lives, but resulted in over 180,000 deaths. That was by July 2022. It's shone a light on what was already the pre-existing health inequalities. Mortality rates were 2.6 times higher in the most deprived areas. Amongst highest were communities from Bangladesh, Pakistan, Black Caribbean groups, and among with a self-reported disability or learned disability. Between 300 to 400 billion was spent during that time. And actually, though there was pockets of solidarity, wasn't there, we also see the mass discrepancy between the rich and the poor. The rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. The pandemic, again, out of that, grew to light tensions that we've seen unfold in Russia and Ukraine. That's been a knock-on effect, hasn't it, for all of us. Inflationary pressures and rise in international gas prices mean many are choosing now between heating and eating. There was a tweet put out a few months back which is startling. There are now more food banks in the United Kingdom than there are McDonald's chains. Let that set in just for a minute. There are now more food banks in the United Kingdom than there are McDonald's in the UK. But if we don't just focus on England, we look wider afield. The last decade has seen sea levels rise, flooding, heat waves, droughts, extreme weather patterns. Indeed, we've seen some of that in our own country. The world is set to emit more carbon and to exceed the 1.5 global warming target for the next 10 years. This is the reality. Not just that, but in East Africa have felt some of the worst effects of that climate change. 40 years of global food prices rising, placing 22 million people in the risk of starvation. And in 2021, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees estimated that 89 million people were forcibly displaced. 89 million. That's more than our entire country's population. And the list can go on as it kind of unpacks some of the reality of where we are in our livelihoods and where we are in our life. And such a description of our time, just reading it out, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, come on, Matt. I thought it meant to be fun, this whole church thing. But Paul encourages us and reminds us, do not be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's where I want us to reflect about. We don't overcome evil by doing evil. We overcome it by doing good, by being good. See, at a time of crisis, which I feel we're at right now, the prophet Micah was also experiencing a time of crisis and reminds the people of Israel, who are bound together in a covenant relationship with God, says these things. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Words which I'm sure each one of us have probably heard in some way, shape or form, but in essence for me that is what it looks like to walk with Micah, to do justice, to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. These aren't in three different instructions. The call to act justly is not a separate vocation, but it's bound up with the calling to embody God's love in all that we do. and to still grow closer to that perfect love and character of God by walking the way of Jesus. All three of those actions, those encouragements, are bound together. You can't just do one of them. To be loving is to be justice seeking. To walk with God, we must first know how to do justice and also to share God's love. Jesus flips the whole script on its head, the Beatitudes. There he is, speaking to his friends. And in the context, what we have to consider is that Jesus is speaking to his friends who have quite literally given up everything to follow him. And the reality is, though, what we might think that life would have been really pleasant and nice to follow Jesus, actually it probably was quite hard, probably was sleep deprived, food deprived even at moments. They had left their whole livelihood simply to follow Jesus. And there Jesus flips the whole script on its head. It's not about wealth, it's not about getting possessions, it's not about getting fame. In fact, it's the opposite. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you. Dallas Willard, the American thinker and theologian, wrote a book called The Divine Conspiracy. I commend it to you to read at any point. And he says, actually, that first beatitude changes absolutely everything. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In Willard's understanding, a total groundbreaking challenge to the mediocrity of the world we live in. See, capitalism, and indeed many aspects of our Western society, says to function, you have to work harder, work smarter, make an impact, and you'll be rewarded because of it. Sadly, and as Dallas Willard goes on to great lengths to point out in his book, the same is often true in the way we talk about faith and following Jesus. We say that people are rewarded for their great faith, or we attempt to compare how far people are along the Christian journey, how far they've come. And actually that can be a fairly toxic way of seeing that Christian journey. Oh, I've been a Christian for so long. Playing almost the Christian trump cards in the life of the church. See, Jesus flips it on its head completely. The kingdom of heaven is not about meritocracy. It's not about where we earn our place. See, Willard is clear. The great divine conspiracy is that actually God has opened up a whole new way of being through Jesus. That merit is being placed by grace, by love, by acceptance. So that poverty is welcome. All forms of poverty. You can't earn your place. You can't inherit your place. You can't acquire it by doing X, Y, and Z, by clever tactics and negotiation, by doing a dirty deal. No, we do it because of our unconditional love that we first get from God. And see, that grace sets the framework for all the other beatitudes, all the other blessings of people who are seeking to do good works. See, the Sermon on the Mount is an invitation into a new kind of world. The sermon which flows over to the next few chapters of Matthew's Gospel groups together much of Jesus' key preaching and messages of ideas. It's an invitation to do three things, I think, as we think about Micah and the Beatitudes. Three very quick things. Number one is to connect. Nurture relationships with people who are experiencing poverty. Build new Christian communities with them. Build transformational relationships with them. Engage in their struggle. Engage in their hardship. As Wesley said, one great reason why the rich in general have so little sympathy for the poor is because they seldom visit them. My question to you is, when was the last time you visited them? Secondly, campaign. We all have a voice, we all have an opportunity to raise up the voices of those who are marginalised, who are cast aside from our society, to write new narratives, to rewrite the script like Jesus did on the Beatitudes and the Sermon of the Mount. One quick way, an easy way, could be for us in Whittlesea, is taking your polling card and using your vote. How can we campaign? How can we raise the voice of those who are in need? And lastly, how can we support? Engage with communities who are being dragged into poverty through this crisis. It might not just be here in Whittlesea, it might be further afield in Peterborough, or indeed somewhere global. Connect, campaign, and support. See, I think we're being called to walk with Micah in the midst of the crisis in which we see around us. We're not called to be silent, we're not called to be passive, we're called to be engaged with it at its highest level. Because each one of us, I think, has a role to play. So let's pray together. Loving God, as we reflect and as we think about the challenge that you give us, may we have a heart for the poor, a heart that shows your love. May we not lose sight of that today. May we be deeply challenged by what we are called to do and what is ours to do. In your name. Amen. We're now going to have our prayers of intercession, which will continue to lead us into that space of thinking of others and ourselves. So thank you.
Let's pray. Loving God, light of the world, giver of hope, there are things which concern us. And because you care so much about our world that you humbly came into it and died for us, we know that you are concerned too. So we bring our current concerns to you this morning. We bring our concerns about the war where Ukrainians and Russians both suffer and people all over the world are affected. About America, where black people disproportionately suffer death from police, even when the police themselves are black. About America and Jerusalem, where there are mass shootings. About all the other places in your world where there is fighting, shooting, and other violence. We bring our concerns about modern slavery, about abused children, about domestic violence and all situations where helpless people are abused by others. We bring our concerns about the state of your planet and how the glories of nature that you provided are being crowded out by human greed, about continued use of fossil fuels which worsen the situation, about governments who make promises which don't turn into action, and all things that hinder those trying to improve things. We bring you our concerns about the cost of living and consequent strikes in our own country, and all situations around the world where people are unemployed and or hungry and or unable to keep warm. We bring our concerns about people who are shunned and or despised because of their race, their class, disability, sexual orientation, or because they are different in some other way. We bring our concerns about decisions your churches worldwide need to take for all sorts of reasons, and especially our plans for outreach of this church with the more welcoming entrance and a worker to help us. We bring our concerns about members of our church who are ill or otherwise restricted for medical reasons, and all people in similar situations, particularly regarding COVID. We ask for your support for all the charities, businesses, and individuals who are trying to make things better, including ourselves. And we pray that all the matters we have mentioned may be treated justly and with mercy and come to a conclusion that is in line with your plans for your world. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Please feel free to use whatever language or version you feel most comfortable with. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now we come to our final hymn. It's number 713 if you're using a book, but of course it is on the screen. Show me how to stand for justice. Show me how to stand for justice.
Time to have a look at what has been done out the back. So, do you want to talk us through what you've been doing?
Yeah,
lovely.
What have you got there? Jelly beans.
Thank you. Well, that's been very good. This is our first week going out. And it's been great, really great. They've all mucked it, as I was going to say, because it's a bit mucky out there now, as you can imagine. Have you done the Beatitudes?
We have.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
So what we've said is Beatitudes. We thought the children might understand that a bit better. So our first one was a recipe for happiness. We've got Be kind to people when they are hurting. Be a peacemaker when people are fighting. Be kind and think nice thoughts. When we are sad, God will comfort us, or our parents or teachers. These words are given to us by Jesus as a recipe of how we should be and act and be happy. So, of course, we explained what a recipe was, so we had our own recipe. This is a trail mix. We put 4 different things into a bowl. There's the right mixture here, I can tell you. There's chocolate raisins. There's pretzels. There's hula hoops. There's, I think we put, what have I missed? Jelly beans. Jelly beans, yeah. 5 different things. They all had a good stir of it. This was our recipe, and it did make them happy as well. And they've all had a dish of them as well. Some people don't like the savoury with the sweet, but they've picked out exactly what they want. 2 more things we've done. Can you hold your books up? Right, they've got 3 pages in their books, and each page shows them something about happiness. So the idea is, if you're sad during the week, sometime you can look at that and think, ah, that's a happy thing. And then Matthew gave us something, didn't he?
Ah, so.
Something extra.
So, church, what have you been up to today? Oh, look, boys and girls, look at this.
Oh, look at that.
So we've been having our own fun as well.
You had to do them.
Yes.
I never did one.
Oh, well. There you go.
Didn't have time. Oh, thank you. A purple heart.
It's one you made earlier.
It's one you made earlier, yeah. So the children, I think they've all enjoyed it this morning. We didn't get round to doing worksheets because they had so much work to do. And I think it would be nice, after you've finished the service, if they come and show people their books to show what they've done. And we can put this one up with the purple heart on the board so you can all see it next time.
Brilliant. Well done. Big round of applause, I think. Well done. Lovely stuff. Fantastic. Well done all. To do encourage you, go and look at the different crafts that have been made. And when this goes up on the board, have a little look for yourself. I might have to try this for some cereal. I think it looks quite nice. Chocolate raisins, pretzels. My kids are getting ideas now. Let's have a final blessing as we go this morning. And a reminder, tea, coffee is served after the church as well, so do stay behind if you're able to do that. So let's just have a final blessing. Feel free to stand if you'd like to, but you can remain seated as well. So Lord, as we leave this place today, we leave with a challenge on our hearts to show justice, to love mercy, and to walk with you. Teach us, inspire us, encourage us, Lord, as we leave this place. Keep us safe until we come back together as one. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.